Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne, writer, comedian, one half of a Scummy Mummies duo. But I'm very excited because I'm in Edinburgh, listener, and I'm with an actual comedian. Not only a comedian, she's a physiotherapist and she likes wearing a giant vagina suit at her job. It is, of course, Elaine Miller. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm so thrilled to be with you today. And it's so exciting to do a podcast up here in Edinburgh. I've met lots of amazing women. But the most amazing woman I've met so far is you.
Is Elaine. That right?
Yes.
You must get out more.
Because not only are you're funny and wonderful, but you've got something really important to tell people. It's not just, I mean, I do jokes about my fanny, but it's literally about how I've got a big gaping hole down there and having sex with me is like putting a sausage in a bucket. But you're going to help people. You're going to change lives.
Yeah, I'm on a mission, baby. Yeah.
Right. And you're the woman behind Gusset Grippers.
Yeah, so I'm a fanny physio, which is a bit of a surprise to me because I started off doing sports stuff, which was kind of living the dream as far as physio goes, because you get to touch young fit men and they pay you for it. Yeah, it's
delicious.
It was a hard, hard job. I was very, very good at it. but then I had kids and then I found out about incontinence because I had hundreds of children, and like most people, when I went a bit pishy myself, I didn't do anything about it, which is stupid because it was my job. Like, I did know what to do, and I thought, well, if I didn't comply, nobody else is. And I landed up working in women's health because I realized the impact that it has on people. It's absolutely devastating being incontinent in somebody's life. And the stats are that 1 in 3 women wet themselves, and physio has up to an 84% cure rate.
Shut up.
In 6 sessions.
You can actually fix what's happening downstairs.
And for stress incontinence, the one where you laugh and cough and sneeze and wet yourself, it's curable for most people. The vast majority. That's why I like my job, because women come in and they're upset because their sex life's gone to shit. They're embarrassed. They're worried they're going to grow up to be a smelly old lady.
Yeah.
You treat them a couple of times and they come in and they're bouncing off the walls, having, you know, totally restored. It's a great line of work.
That, you're like a fanny magician.
That's
basically
me, the fanny, the hoo-ha whisperer.
because I have had 2 children. I had 2 natural childbirths. They all went through the fanny, and my son was 9 pounds 11.
So well done,
I think
you.
So I think that had a big impact. And I've done a bit of what's it called, Pilates in the last year, and that's really helped. But I feel like I've got 2 bladders because I will go to the toilet and feel like I've emptied every drop of piss out of my body. And then every third sneeze, I do a bit of wee.
Yeah.
And get away with 2 sneezes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. But not, but if or if I'm sick, and this is a lovely
that's
conversation.
Hard.
It's a horrible feeling when you go, if you've got a tummy bug and you go to vomit and then you wet yourself at the same time. I mean, that's grim.
That is just, it's hard to feel good about yourself when it's coming out both
gross.
Ends.
Yeah. I'm not feeling very body positive after that experience. And so how long have you been a fanny physio for?
How old are my children? I'll have been specialising it for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
That's a while, isn't it?
That is a while.
I must know myself.
How many fannies have you seen, Elaine? thousands of muff.
There's not much now that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to the doctor, like if you've got an embarrassing problem and the doctors say, I've seen it all before, I genuinely have. You have to have something pretty remarkable to make me lose my poker face.
I think that's our biggest fear, is that we have such a, I can't speak generally, but you can obviously, that we have this great fear about what our flaps look like, and that it has to look like it must be something odd down there. And like, you know, even just getting our pap smears done and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's just such a big hurdle. Like, oh no, I'm really embarrassed. It's like, takes 5 minutes and you're done.
And there's a couple of good resources. I mean, there's a couple of good resources online. There's quite a lot of images of vulvas online, but not all of them are going to make you feel good about yourself. So ones that I would recommend, there's in Australia, they fund a lot of research into continent stuff, and they have the Labia Library, which is a great bit of work. And
amazing.
They have photographs of all ages, all it ranges all races, and you can just sort of like see who you look like. There's also Jamie McCartney has the Great Wall of Vagina, which was, he's a sort of body artist and did plaster casts of vaginas, so it's like a big coffee, it's an exhibition piece, but there's a coffee table book that goes with it. And there's a woman called Laura Dodsworth who's a photographer, and she has a project called Bare Reality, where she photographs bits of bodies and interviews the person about how they feel about their body. So our first one was about breasts, the second one was about penises, and the third one is vulvas. And it's the most brilliant book because she has people that have had conditions and diseases or birth injuries or FGM. And that's, I bought a copy for my daughter to say, go and have a look.
Yeah. But I think it has to start from when you're young, because I remember when I was little, and I think I must have been, I don't know, 10 or 11. And I discovered that I had like the labia minora, so the inner flaps, and I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought I was like part alien, and I didn't tell anyone for years because I was like, I can't tell anyone about this, because I just thought that vaginas were just the outer flaps and I had some mutation, and like just feel it, but I couldn't tell anyone because I thought, oh no, people think I'm a freak and no one will look like me. So
And all we girls feel like that in my experience, speaking to women in clinic about this most intimate area, everybody has a hang up. I mean, I actually can't think of anybody that I have treated in clinic that hasn't been concerned about the state of, about what they look like. The question I get asked all the time is, am I normal? Like, of course you are.
Yeah.
But how do you know? Because we don't teach this stuff in sex ed. We don't see ranges of normal.
No,
and
exactly
the research behind it is really, I talk in the show that the proper bit of research done into the state of the clitoris, like what a clitoris actually is, was only done in 1994.
Shut up!
Yeah.
That's insane.
Because female sexual response has never been properly investigated. We still don't really understand it. And obviously that's because it's shameful and we shouldn't encourage it.
No, I heard we go blind.
Isn't it shocking?
It absolutely is. Because I didn't do any wanking until I was way, 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 way into my 20s. And even still, I wouldn't do it very often. And I just, like we weren't taught, like it was all about boy wanking when you were...
Yeah.
Everyone talked about, oh, and the crunchy sock and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But no one talked about female pleasure. It was about what women did for men rather than what we could achieve for ourselves.
Sex ed is set up to teach boys about wet dreams and erections and girls about periods.
Yeah.
So it's not... It really annoys me, however.
I think the first time I heard the word clitoris was on the Shirley Valentine movie.
Oh, yeah.
When she talks about a clitoris. And we didn't really talk about that at all. And, and as someone said, I remember we had this amazing woman on the Scummy Mummies podcast. She did a book called Girls and Sex and just talked about how porn and all sort of forms of sex, the way it's portrayed, is all about the male pleasure. Right.
All the research is about that as well. If a woman presents with a sexual dysfunction, it's like if they've got vaginismus or, you know, pain on penetration, the research is basically focused on get it in. And if you can't get it in, then you've got a problem. And if you're interested in any other sort of sexual function, then nobody cares. It's not important.
Yes. Yeah.
It's all about the willy.
I think this needs to change. And you were doing this with your show. Can we talk a bit more about your show? Because we're in your fine city, and just down the road, you're doing an hour of hilarious comedy about front bottoms.
Yes. So the aim of the show is that somebody leaves knowing what a pelvic floor is, what it does, and why having a good one is smashing.
Okay.
So it's all the stuff that I cover in clinic normally, but trying to make it funny because it is embarrassing. These issues, embarrassment is the main barrier to help seeking, but we know that once we can get people into clinic, they get better. It's just trying to get them over the hump. So the... When I was doing straight stand-up, I realised that comedians were talking about the most appalling subjects on stage, things that are not socially acceptable.
Yeah.
And as long as they could make them funny, they got away with it because it was a great leveller. It sort of gets rid of inhibitions and barriers.
And I think there's something about going to a stand-up gig is that you're in the dark as an audience member and you can lose your inhibitions. You can laugh really loudly. No one can see you laugh or see your reactions to things. So you can kind of let go. And that, like, whenever I do, like Ellie and I do our Scummy Mummy show, we say the audience must be in absolute complete darkness because otherwise they won't really enjoy themselves and really let go. So I think comedy is such a powerful kind of tool.
A reviewer made a really interesting observation. He said that it was a male reviewer and the room was mostly female. Usually there's about a third of the audience is male, but this one that he came to, it was all middle-aged women. And I made a joke about an incontinence pad and he made some comment about how it was really odd being in a room where a bunch of women started laughing at a joke that he didn't get the punchline to because he had no experience of the problem, but they got it and then everybody else laughed. Subsequently, once they understood the punch, you know how that works in comedy. Somebody gets the joke before the punchline because they know what's coming, and then everybody else joins in afterwards. And I thought that was really interesting because I think that's why it works. In that, if you understand about incontinence pads because you use them and you're embarrassed by that, and somebody else gets a joke about it, you know they use incontinence pads as well, so that makes you feel less alone.
Yeah,
and the social isolation with this stuff is massive. Really huge. People do feel like they're the only ones, and they're not. It's common. And that stat of 1 in 3 women, I think, is flawed. I think it's most women over the age of 40 at a school gate. If you took a trampoline to the school gate and said, "Would you like to go on my trampoline?" they're all going to say, "No, thank you very much."
And so let's get into the kind of the meat and potatoes. Like, I think most people listening to this podcast will experience incontinence in their lives. How do we get it back? How do we get continence back?
Pelvic floor exercises is the first. They're the front line of defense, and there's gold standard evidence that this stuff works. So that's part of the reason that I'm so frustrated, because for the majority of people, they will get better if they just stick to doing their pelvic floor exercises. And if that doesn't work and they come to clinic, there's a whole lot of other stuff that we can do. The challenge is knowing that you're doing your pelvic floor exercise properly.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard. Like, people just, they're often fairly disengaged from their pelvic floor. And if they've got some weakness, it's very challenging to be confident that you're doing it properly.
Yeah.
So there's been some research done to see what the best command is, which I love the idea of, because this woman spent 4 years of her life shouting commands at people and ultrasounding their tummy to see what their pelvic floor was doing.
Yes.
And came up with stuff that works. So the first one that she tried was, imagine you've got a zip fitted from your bum hole all the way around to the front, and you're going to zip it up.
Okay.
And what you should feel is a squeeze and a lift.
Yeah.
So the job of your pelvic floor is to squeeze to hold your hole shut and then lift to support the organs.
Yeah.
So when you're doing your zip, then that should be the feeling that you are aiming for.
Yeah.
So it worked in about a third of the people that she tried it on. The next one that worked was, imagine you're lifting your testicles to your spectacles.
Okay.
Which is genius because it works even if you don't have any testicles or spectacles. It just works.
It's just the visualization. I like it. Yeah.
And the one that worked on most people was, imagine you're holding in a fart.
Right. Okay.
Really nasty, gruesome fart.
Disgusting.
That you do not want to let out because people are going to die.
Okay.
And that, if you think about it, because you're doing it now, if you're listening, you are doing that with your
bum
hole.
Come on, listener. Suck it up. Hold it in.
You're squeezing and lifting your bum hole. You can really feel it.
Yeah.
But people cheat when they do the exercise. So they tend to hold the breath and that won't work.
Yes. Okay.
Pelvic floors move when you breathe. Mm-hmm. So they rise up and down with your breath. And if you hold your breath, they get fixed. Most problems, Most subclinical people have a weak pelvic floor, but okay. not everybody. It can be too tight and fixed. So people that get pain and penetration, they don't like using tampons because it really hurts getting in. People mm-hmm. that refuse to go for smear tests because it's so painful and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And if it's interfering with intimate relationships, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They shouldn't do the exercises. They need to come to clinic because
yeah.
you don't want to strengthen a muscle that's already too fixed and tight. Mm. It needs to learn to relax.
Yeah.
And the other thing that people do wrong is instead of squeezing their pelvic floor with this squeeze and lift, they can feel their butt moving. So they just clench their butt cheeks or their thighs and think, oh, that'll do. Something's yeah. going. So it has to be right underneath. And I have a really horrible analogy that is so offensive, but it works. If you imagine that you're trying to make enough space in your gusset for somebody to put a folded 50-pound note in.
Okay.
So it's just a wee movement lifting up off, you know, the cotton bit in your pants.
Yes.
You're lifting yourself up off of there just enough.
Like a mollusk, just a little. Yes. Just suck it up a bit. And there's bits of kit as well.
Yeah.
So Elaine kindly gifted some Kegel balls. Do you say Kegel or Kegel?
I think it either is optional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so there we go. So I'm gonna give these a go. So it says three sizes and three weights. So you start off with a big and light, and then you work down to small and heavy. Yeah. So that makes sense. There's a lovely line in the Scummy Mummy show where Ellie says, "My fanny used to be like a mouse's ear," and so maybe that's what we're aiming for, to go from the bag. For the bag for life to the mouse's ear with that. But it is a strange thing. I think people, I mean, a lot of people have seen their vaginas, but there is a strong section of the community who have not had a good look downstairs as well.
No, when I'm in charge of the world, I'm going to make it part of sex ed. Yeah. Young women are going to be given a mirror, a map, and some lube and some homework.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't do it in class. That would be
that would be quite an afternoon. I think that's so important. Because I think I've got a daughter, but and I want her, she often asks what things are, and I'm really comfortable about it, but I'm sure I didn't have that chat with my own mother.
No, I didn't. And there's the thing about not knowing your own anatomy is it impacts on everything in your life. So the Eve Appeal are a big charity here that focus on female reproductive cancers. How do you know if you've got vulval cancer if you don't know what your vulva looks like?
Yeah.
So if we don't teach people what their normal is, then they can't recognise prolapse, they can't recognise thrush, they can't recognise if they've got a problem. There's lots and lots of vulval dermatological problems that if you know it's itchy, but you've got no idea what's wrong with you, and people assume it's a sexually transmitted disease and yeah. are horrified.
Well, this is it. I had a funny lump on my flap the other day, Elaine, and I did talk about it on like Instagram because I thought, I'd put it off and put it off. I thought, oh, it's probably a wart, disease, it's gross, and I didn't want to have sex. And then I just went down to the doctor, and she said, oh no, that's a skin tag. And I was like, but I got myself into an absolute spin and a bit of a 2 and 8 about it. I thought, oh, there's something funny with my flap. I've got funny flaps and it's awful and I don't want to go to the doctor. And then I just went, no, just get on with it. And it took 5 minutes and then I was fine. She said, look, you probably could have it removed, but it's going to be fine and all that's a thing. But yeah, I think you just feel such shame and such unease about it.
There's lots and lots of evidence about the impact that this has on people's well-being that's really quite hard to beat. There's a study that shows that if you wet yourself, it has more of an impact on your well-being than diabetes or asthma. Like, it's massive.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's so much of the way you love your body. It's got a lot to do with how you, what's the word? Your confidence about sex and going out and exercise. Because I really want to talk about that. We met in the pub the other night and you were saying about it's this vicious circle, because they said, oh, if you're overweight, you're going to be more incontinent. Mm-hmm. And then they said, oh, you want to exercise, but then you don't want to exercise because you're embarrassed about that. I mean, how are we going to, how do you feel that we can kind of overcome this?
Well, so your pelvic floor is lifting up everything that's above it. So if you're overweight, it has to work harder than it should do. Now, I'm overweight. I've always been overweight, and my pelvic floor is working just fine because I do my pelvic floor exercises. But we know that small amounts of weight loss can make a big difference to symptoms. Mm-hmm. So if you can lose 10% of your weight, then your symptoms will reduce on average by 50%.
Okay.
And 2 or 3 pounds can be enough to allow you to be able to run for a bus without wetting yourself. So tiny amounts of weight loss can make a big difference. But exercise when you're heavier is really, really challenging, because apart from people being worried that they're going to get judged for, you get judged for exercising.
For like leaving the house.
It's really hard, and things that involve lots of impact are more of a challenge for your pelvic floor. So running, for instance, when you're running or jumping, there's 3 times your body weight and impact going up into your pelvic floor. So even if you weigh 10 stones, that can be 30 stones of pressure. So you might be okay running for a bus, but you can't do 5K.
Yeah.
Or you might be able to do 5K, but you couldn't run half a marathon because the muscles get tired. And anything that you're doing that causes leaking means that the muscles aren't coping with that impact.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means you need to get some advice so that you're not going to land up stressing your pelvic floor or giving yourself a prolapse. Mm. So the obvious common sense thing is to try and reduce impact stuff. So, you know, swimming and cycling are great. Walking is brilliant. But runners, like, they just want to run.
Yeah.
There's just... I find them quite frustrating to work with because I am not a runner.
Yeah.
But you say, you know, like, maybe you should just, you know, have you thought about swimming? They look at you like you've gone completely mental.
Yeah.
Like you've just asked them if they could fly. No, but you don't understand, because I am a runner, and they get totally hooked. And I get it, because it's
that high is very addictive. Like,
I think it's a myth. I've never had it.
Oh, no. I think, Ellie and I have also discussed this from the Scummy Mummies, that it's part smuggery. It's that high of smuggery as well, that I've run and done a thing. And I think, but even still, like, when you're feeling overweight, or you are overweight, when you put your swimmers on, that's also a hurdle. People have got a massive phobia about being, you know, but, you know, whether it's their hairy legs or, you know, whatever, that can be such a big, barrier to people.
Yeah.
But it's such an act of self-love doing exercise. That's the thing. It shouldn't be a punishment or any of that sort of stuff. But yeah.
I think the This Girl Can campaign that they had
Fabulous.
Was brilliant.
Yeah.
Really, really. And that certainly got me back out doing Couch to 5K, because I thought, I am doing better than if I'm sitting in the settee. Mm. And I'm a person that understands about exercise and what I'm supposed to be doing. And I find it really hard to comply. But annoyingly, it does work. It's really very, very disappointing.
No, I should have asked you at the beginning, because we always ask our guests at the beginning about how you feel about your body. And I thought it was really interesting that, you know, the way you've changed your focus in your career when you became incontinent and you became a mum. And how do you feel about your body now?
Well, largely disappointed, I think, which is I think that's standard for the female state, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's what we're taught to do. We're meant to pick out the faults instead of the things that we love.
I think I've always thought that I would be much happier if I was thinner. Mm-hmm. You know, this is standard, isn't it? It's not news.
All the things you can do, the list that you put off.
Yeah.
That when I lose weight, I'm going to wear these clothes and do this thing and look like Elle Macpherson.
And some of us just have challenges for our weight. I've got polycystic ovaries, which, you know, makes you fatter. Mm. And if I exercise and watch my diet, then I can lose weight. But it's a real, real challenge. But I am fitter than I was.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that. I quite like that I can go and do, I mean, I am painfully slow. There's not really any discernible difference between my running and my walking, to be honest.
No, I just call it a bouncy walk when I jog. I jogged around, apparently illegally, around the Botanic Gardens in Edinburgh.
Oh my goodness, we string people up for that.
Fuck me, I know. Well, I did it.
They
and
catch
I said,
you?
No, I did it. Probably because they thought I was walking.
Yes, that must be it.
Wasn't very fast. But yes, so listen, do not jog in the Edinburgh Botanic Gardens. But I was wearing like running attire anyway. Now I'm feeling like I should have been stopped anyway. But Ellie got told off. She got told off. She was in her running gear. She went off to do her run. Yeah, and they're like, no, thank you.
Yeah, they police it really, really strictly.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know why.
It's just a weird thing. And they said, oh, it's just a garden. It's not a park. Yes, there's so many levels of gardens in Edinburgh. You've got your private gardens, gardens for non-runners, and then a garden where there's a big fuck-off mountain in the middle of it, the old Arthur's Seat as well.
And we've got lady gardens. Ba-doom-tsh.
Hey, gee, so much. And an Australian bush right here, right now. But yeah, so I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, so you are feeling better about your body. And how are you talking to your daughters about, or daughter?
One girl, two boys.
Yeah.
And I am actually very, very careful not to make any judgments on her. She's fit, like she climbs. So she is really strong.
That's huge. Yeah.
Do pull-ups and like I'm honestly in awe of her. She's just, she's sort of like who I would like to have been.
Yeah.
Which is so lovely, like as a mum, to think that you've got a kid that is, you know, content and secure and that you actually really enjoy the company of.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, whatever I've done to fuck you up, it's got to come out. Yeah. So
just
far,
enjoy
so
it now.
Good.
Yeah. It's not getting too serious.
So yeah, try really hard just not to make her feel inadequate.
Mm.
Her friend is tall and slim and leggy. Like, don't be friends with her.
No. Oh, no, one of my daughter's best friends is a ballerina.
Like, oh, no, don't.
Yeah,
no.
But she's absolutely like the loveliest girl you ever meet. But yeah, they're chalk and cheese when it comes to their figures.
Yeah.
And Matilda does like modern dance, but that's all kind of strong girl stuff. Not that ballet isn't, but yeah, they've just got completely different physiques. Mm-hmm. And I was a big chunky girl growing up and in Australia, and all the girls, everything that was praised was sport. And the netball girls and the hockey girls and stuff. But anyway, we're getting off track. We're getting away from fannies and I don't want to. I want to stay on fanny track. Where can people find you, Elaine? Where can people hear your great words? And you're going to do a tour of Australia, is that right?
Yeah, next
She's
year.
She's literally going down under.
Hey.
Do
you think I can call it that? I don't think I can get away with that in Australia. They'll
no,
be like, yeah, yeah.
They'll love you because you're Scottish and we love... I was going to say we love foreigners. That is incorrect. Love you.
You're a sucker for an accent, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was doing a gig in Perth in Scotland and four fanny physios, quite a small world, and four physios in Australia got all excited and said, oh, we thought you were coming to Perth.
Oh, Australia.
So I thought, well, why not? Mm. So after because the Fringe is going well, next year I'm going to go, I think, in June and do a tour. I've got 11 dates worked out in Australia and New Zealand. And hopefully I'll have my book finished by then and it'll all be out as well.
And what's your book about?
Have a guess. I am a one-trick pony.
And so, yeah, so is the book going to be like a how-to? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's for the public. It's not an academic thing. And it's called Get a Grip.
Yay!
I'm so chuffed.
It's so exciting.
So it should be out next year. And I'm going to do a podcast also called Get a Grip.
Excellent.
Which some of it is started. It's just the tech to get it up is too hard for my pretty little
head. Talk to producer Emma. She's a wizard.
I'm going to. Vaginas I can do. Twiddly knobs, not so much.
No.
And my website is terrible. It's called gussetgrippers.co.uk and it desperately needs updating, so that will be done after the Fringe once I can figure Who outsourced that to?
And you've had a viral video. So if you want to see Elaine dressed as a giant vagina, you did a BBC thing, which was amazing. I was so thrilled for you. It's really exciting.
BBC Stories came and filmed me talking about this. And I was really surprised because it went up at the time that Trump was doing something ludicrous.
Yeah.
And it was on the BBC News app thing for 13 days.
Mm.
And I'd like to think that that was because it was so funny and that the show sells out because I'm hilarious. But the fact of the matter is that women are desperate for this information.
Mm.
And if you go to where they are, then they listen. People come to my show in groups. They come in groups of friends from running or from work or from Pilates. And then they all nag each other subsequently. It would be good to show that it is effective.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we have nearly come to the end of the podcast, but before we go, Elaine, we have some quick fire questions.
Yes.
Elaine, what makes you feel sexy?
Ooh, going out the house, actually. See if my husband organises going out.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that.
And also, I just want to note, you can't say this because it's audio, you're wearing clitoris earrings, is that right?
Yes, I am.
I love them. Noticing. Did you make them yourself?
I got them on Etsy.
Ooh.
If you Google feminist jewellery on Etsy, the most extraordinary stuff comes up. Aren't they lovely, though?
They're gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely lovely. Not to scale, because clitorises are huge, apparently. Now, what's your most favourite thing to put in your body?
My husband's willy, probably.
Yes, very good, correct.
Classic answer.
Excellent. What's your most embarrassing body moment?
Oh, that's easy. That's wetting myself in the doorstep in front of my neighbour, which is how I landed up writing a Fringe show. Every moment's a gift.
How did that actually happen? I need more details.
Because I had been a bit leaky and hadn't done anything about it, I gave myself a rampaging case of overactive bladder, where your bladder just gets really, really twitchy.
Oh.
And if you should be able to wait 4 hours between first feeling the urge to pee and actually being desperate.
Yeah.
And I put my key in the door, and that is a habitual thing that triggers bladder irritation. So I just pissed everywhere. And because I stay in Edinburgh and my neighbour is terribly posh, she's lovely. She's in her 80s and she's basically who I want to be when I grow up, because she's very elegant and polite and not really used to people pissing themselves. So that's why I thought enough is enough, time to sort this nonsense out.
You turned a negative into an opportunity.
That's it. Yes.
Very
like
good.
An American.
Oh, I haven't got a fat fact. Maybe you could. Have you got a fact for us that you could share?
I can say that in the obesity management plan in Scotland, incontinence is missing from their plan, and I can't find anywhere that has got it factored in. Now, if your BMI is over 36, you are probably going to wet yourself when you run.
Mm-hmm.
And we get exercise on prescription for people that have got obesity.
Yeah.
And then we're surprised that they don't adhere to it. And I am sure that there's a link.
Yeah.
So that would be my fat fact. It's important that we talk about this stuff because it's a barrier to exercise.
Yes, absolutely. The Hall of Fat Fame. Who's someone who inspires you?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, I know. On the This Girl Can advert, the woman in the bikini wobbling her way into the swimming pool.
Yes.
And it's like a great image from behind because she looks amazing because she's big, but she's got a little waist and she's just wobbling with style.
Awesome.
And I would love to walk like that.
Wobbling with style. We're gonna own that.
Fatspiration.
What is your mantra? What are the words that you live by or that you would like everyone else to live by?
Laugh, don't leak.
Right.
Yes.
Hashtag laugh, don't leak. She's wearing a t-shirt. I can't avoid it. She's made it very clear.
I have a brand. I think that works. Just enjoy yourself by laughing, but you need to know what normal is for what you can reasonably expect from your genitals, and that would be not shitting yourself when you laugh.
Yeah. Great. What a nice way to end the podcast. Elaine, you're amazing. Thank you. And I wish you all the best with your world domination. Look out, world.
Thank you for having me on.
Excellent. All right. You've been listening to the Fat Lot of Good podcast by me, Helen Thorne. It is produced by the wonderful Emma Corsham, and the music you've been listening to is by John Thorne, and the jingles are by Simon Toner. Please rate, review and subscribe, and do follow me on Instagram at Helen Wears a Size 18. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.